This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
From hockey to wrestling, football to golf, no sport left unturned. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. Joining me as usual, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Doing great, Naz. Big show today. A lot of things going on in the world of sports today. The World Cup of Soccer, the world's greatest sporting spectacle, starts in Qatar this morning. I think Ecuador and Qatar are kicking it off at 11 a.m. Of course, our beloved Canadian men's national team will get their debut this week against Belgium. I believe it's Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And so we're going to talk some World Cup soccer this morning. So we're going to invite back to the show, good friends of the show, Carmen and Marcantonio, Roberto Iarushi, members of the Canadian Soccer Men's Football Hall of Fame. Also former members of the Canadian men's national soccer team. I'm sure this is a big, big week for them, seeing our proud red and white boys over in Qatar representing our nation well. And also joining us, a passionate soccer fan, former mayor. I think he's not the mayor anymore. He gracefully retired from that position. The mayor of the city of Vaughan, Maurizio Bevilacqua, who is a passionate, passionate soccer fan, done some work with the Canadian Soccer Federation. So he's going to join us in that conversation. Naz, what else is going on today?
The Grey Cup.
The Grey Cup, of course.
Absolutely.
And it's still a Canadian national cultural institution, sporting institution. It gets a lot of us excited, reminds us of a lot of some great Grey Cup games over the year, proud history. The Toronto Argos are in it, taking on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and that should be an exciting game. Blue Bombers, number one team in the CFL this year, but the Argos have been on a roll lately, Naz. So I got a feeling they're going to pull it out, Naz. What do you think?
Yeah, they really closed the gap since the beginning of the year. They were way behind Winnipeg at the beginning of the year, but now I think they're close to them in talent and execution and all that. So I expect a big game, and I hope the Argos win.
Yeah, we all certainly do hope they win. The game starts at 6 p.m. It's out in Regina at Mosaic Stadium. Should be a little bit chilly out there, but that's the beauty of Canadian football. So we're all excited about that. We're excited about the World Cup. Naz, we're excited about the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Bills. Let's have a brief chat about those before we go to break and come back with Carmen and Bob and Maurizio. Leafs, you know, everybody was falling off the bandwagon earlier on in the season, and in the infamous words of Joe Bowen, let's sit tight, let's wait 20-25 games. Last 10 games, Naz, Leafs have gotten points in 9 of the last 10, 6 wins, 2 ties. Good performance last night, and the most promising thing seems to be we got Matt Murray back in the lineup. If he stays injury-free, he's looked good the last couple of games, Naz.
It's very interesting how this year has gone exactly the same as last year. October, they were awful, and November, they were very good. And this year, it's October, they were awful, and November, they're very good. So look out. And if he stays healthy, they're going to do some damage.
Yeah, if Murray stays healthy and plays like he did against Jersey and against Buffalo last night, that certainly makes the Leaf Nation optimistic. And Samsonov didn't play too shabby when he was in there. So if we get a healthy Matt Murray and Samsonov between the pipes, you know, we may have shored up one of the areas of the team that people have been concerned about over the years. So we certainly we hope, we wish Matt Murray all the best of health. keep playing like that, Matt. You're gonna put some smiles on some Leafs Leaf fans. It was certainly giving us something to be optimistic about.
The Sabres are going backwards again, and that's not good news for Buffalo. I tell you, they lost their eighth in a row last night. Eight in a row they've lost.
Yeah, good point, Naz. Seem to have a lot of talent, young talent there. Just haven't found it yet. Two of the surprising teams in the league, the two teams that have sort of separated themselves from everybody, I find surprising, the Bruins and the Devils. Bruins are 16-2 and the Devils 15-3. That's got to be pretty surprising, Ness.
It is. And New Jersey is playing like the Leafs did when they the first year that they had Matthews. They got a young team and they're playing very, very well. Their goaltending has held up so far. I'm not sure it's going to hold up the rest of the year, but it's held up so far. And New Jersey is pretty impressive. And Boston, what can you say, man? They keep every year. They keep turning it out.
I don't know how they do
it. They're down and they're back up again.
I thought they had a good coach, Cassidy, and they got rid of him. But they seem bigger, faster, and stronger this year. We'll see what happens. But the Leafs took them on and got a result against the Bruins. So
we're looking at a playoff of Tampa and Toronto again, first round.
Oh wow! Anyways, we got Matt Murray this time. So.
Yeah,
I will expect a different, but there's a lot of hockey still to be played. Very quickly, we've got to go to break shortly, but Naz, they're getting pounded down in Buffalo, and to all our Western New York listeners, our thoughts are with you. Buffalo strong. I mean, there's a lot of snow down there, and the Bills have had to move their game to Detroit this afternoon.
Listen to this, Wally. 56,000 tickets were sold in the 24 hours. In Detroit, there's going to be 56,000 people to watch the Bills in Detroit.
I don't know.
Can you imagine?
I don't know how the Bills Mafia is going to get there. How they're going to get from Western New York I look at some of those pictures on that I'm seeing on Channel 4 and Channel 7 and Channel 2. Wow, man, in some areas, the snow is as tall as Josh Allen
Orchard
I'm seeing.
Orchard Park has 77 inches of snow.
It's just,
as of yesterday.
I know Buffalo's been hit over the years with some incredible snowstorms, but this one's off the chart. So to all our Western New York listeners, we wish you the best. Stay safe. Be careful out there. If you got a snow blower, help your neighbors out. I noticed a lot of people are helping the Buffalo Bills. Those that live next door to some of the Buffalo Bills members are shoveling their driveways and getting their cars, getting them to the airport, trying to get the police officers or getting the Buffalo Bills players to the airport so they can get to the game today. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Go Bills. But Bills, quick, Naz, you know what I find unsettling about this team? I don't know if they're a great football team, but they're on the threshold of being a great football team in the context of, not in a historical sense, but in the context of today's NFL. But they have a way of losing games they should win. They probably should be undefeated right now. And the way they lost last Sunday's game, wow, man, that's unsettling, Naz. What's going on?
They have to. I'm not sure what's going on. It's very difficult to watch them at times when they do stuff like that. And Allen's given up the ball in the last three games, and with interceptions and fumbles. And that wasn't like him earlier in the year, so I'm not sure. Hopefully, I know one thing. They are hurt very badly in the defensive backfield, okay. For sure. And that's not good when you have four rookies back there.
Yeah, I'm not so sure the defensive backfield is costing them his games. And Josh Allen, you can't criticize the guy. I mean, he's an all-world quarterback. But that exchange, I mean, you got the game in your hands and you're on your two-inch line and you fumble the ball. With 40 seconds left in the game,
and then the pick at the end, right?
And then you come back and you tie it up, and then the pick, man, that is for Bills fans, that can be pretty demoralizing. Anyways, we wish them all the best. They've got two games.
That's why we're Bills and Leafs fans, eh?
we keep taking we keep taking the blows, Naz.
Taking
and
the abuse.
We keep taking it.
I saw it at 4-1 last night at the end of the second, and I said to my son, Matt.
I said, no, please.
Now they're in trouble.
Not a 4-1 lead. Not the dreaded 4-1. At least we can laugh about it. Although, you know what? I think the Bills, you know, they got two games in Detroit, interestingly enough. They got a game today in Detroit, and they got a game against the Lions on Thursday. You know what? Let's get on a roll here. They're playing the Brownies today. You know, if we can squeeze two quick victories against a couple of bottom feeders, then maybe we can. You know, we got to get home field advantage. It's so important in the NFL playoffs. How many times is the team with the home field advantage go to the Super Bowl? More often than not. So. Hopefully, you know, the Bills, they're there. Let's get on a little run here, and let's scoop the home field advantage. Go Bills. On that note, we'll go to break, and it's the World Cup of Soccer starting in Qatar today, the world's greatest sporting spectacle. We'll be back with Carmen and Marcantonio, Roberto Iarussi, and Maurizio Bevilacqua. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day when I was remembering back to when I didn't know about Pizzaville. It was a rainy day when we knew that our marriage was on the rocks. The spark was gone. The fire was out. Everything was undercooked. We saw a marriage counsellor who made us realise that it wasn't our fault. It was those big pizza conglomerates. Their pizzas were so bland and doughy, all we wanted to do was roll over and go to sleep. So we tried Pizzaville, and it put a little spice and variety back into our marriage. Every week, we try different toppings. My wife especially loves the hot Italian sausage. At Pizzaville, we make authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza. Call Pizzaville at 736-3636 or order online at pizzaville.ca.
No hard prices! No.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville decided to do what it could to stop world prices from spiralling out of control. With a large pickup special, get a large one-topping pizza for only $11.99. $11.99 for a large pizza?
Long live Pizzaville!
Call Pizzaville for the large pickup special at 736-3636.
Rayo's got big nose!
Or online at pizzaville.ca.
This is Daryl Sittler for Alta Infinity and Vaughn. I've worked with some pretty great teams over the years, and the staff at Alta ranks among the very best. Expert sales, superior service, and the largest selection of Infinity cars and SUVs in Canada, and the most competitive pricing anywhere. It's no wonder that Alta has been an all-star performer for well over a decade. Visit AltaInfinityWoodbridge.com, or better yet, drop by the No. 7 Auto Mall at the corner of Martin Grove and Highway 7. Experience the difference that makes Alta Infinity the captain's choice.
Your grandkids are discovering trading cards for the first time. When you were their age, you collected all your favorite sports heroes. Maybe your younger self wants to show them the ropes. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise has a wide selection to get them started. From athletes to superheroes, relive some memories and make some new ones. Shop Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise and put a hero under their tree. Two locations in Toronto and Vaughan, or find them first at mintink.ca.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on the new AM 740, also on FM 96.7 and live video and audio streaming www.zoomerradio.ca. Today, the World Cup of Soccer starts, the world's greatest sporting spectacle. I can think of three no better friends of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour than Carmen and Marcantonio, Roberto Iarussi, and Maurizio Bevilacqua to join us and talk about this incredible tournament. First of all, I'm going to take the opportunity to say hello to each one of you individually, and then let's get going on it. Carmen, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Walter, Naz. Good morning to you both and everybody that's listening.
Roberto, how are you this morning?
Wally, good morning, Naz. Good morning, Maurizio. Good morning. Congratulations.
Maurizio, the mayor, how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well, Wally and Naz. Thank you so much. Great to join Roberto and Carmine on this wonderful show. Hey, World Cup is here. It's exciting times.
It certainly, we've been waiting for it. We've been waiting for it a long time. I'm simply going to go around to each of you, and then we'll get, get Naz involved. I'm simply to Carmine, Roberto, and Maurizio in that order. Carmine, what does Canada being in the World Cup again after so many years, you being capped as a Canadian national men's soccer team, being in the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame or Football Hall of Fame, what will Wednesday at 2 o'clock or just before 2 o'clock mean to you?
Well, Walter, it means a lot to myself and to all the Canadians. I mean, we're going to be seeing these boys coast to coast. 30 million people will be watching, I'm sure. Every Canadian would be, you know, enthusiastic about seeing our Reds. And you know what? I'm going to use an Obama quote. Yes, we can. I think that's our slogan now going forward with this World Cup. Yes, we, Canada, can.
Love it.
Amaze.
Absolutely love that.
Surprise the world. And I think I'm very bullish on as you know, on this team. I think we have a great coach. He's a great motivator, John Herdman. And we have very good young players with a mix of veterans. The only issue, you know, is with, as we know, some injuries have just come out from the media from Qatar, with even Bojan may not be able, the goalie may be injured. I don't know how bad, but it's a question mark. And Eustachius, you know, these are two big players in the starting lineup, yep, that could be questionable. And Alfonso Davies, we don't know how fit he is.
Well, I can.
There are some issues, but I think whoever steps in, I'm sure that he's going to do a good job.
Carmen, on the Alfonso Davies front, he was just interviewed by James Duthie on TSN, and he says, in his words, I'm ready to start the first game. Roberto, capped for the Canadian national soccer team, late 70s, early 80s. You've played historically with some of the greatest soccer players, teammates that have ever played the game. Canada's in the World Cup for the first time since 1986. What does this mean to you?
Well, it's very, very exciting. It's amazing to have watched this group, this collection of athletes blossom the way they have, and I agree with Carmen. I think that some of these big boys are there for the taking, and having watched Belgium get beaten by Egypt the other day, I'm sure it sent a bit of a positive shock wave through that Canadian dressing room, and anything can happen. I think that there's points to be lost from all these four teams that are in this group. I think Carmen, in speaking with him yesterday, we called this perhaps the group of death. I could see any of these four teams going through.
Maurizio, you've been a proud, passionate supporter of soccer. You played soccer. You were a good soccer player in your younger years, National Soccer League, Toronto Jets, in your term as mayor of the city of Vaughan, involved in many, many promotional and campaigns and working with the Canadian Soccer, National Soccer Association. Nobody more passionate about football and soccer than you. Canada being in the World Cup amongst all the great soccer nations of the world, save for one, and we'll talk about that later. How does this make you feel?
It makes me feel extremely joyful. I think that soccer's journey has been very fulfilling. We got to really pause here today, Wally, and take an opportunity to really pay tribute to the real pioneers of soccer. This is a celebration, I think, for all the soccer players and soccer coaches and administrators right across the country who have toiled for many years to create an outstanding team. This is the product of really decades upon decades of working towards developing a national program that has produced the likes of you know, Alfonso Davis, Jonathan David, Richie Larea, Jonathan Osorio, and so many others who I think are going to surprise the world. I really do think that as we reflect upon this journey, let's give it, you know, let's think about the unsung heroes. You know, Wally, you probably remember back in the days of Yorkview.
Yes, sure do.
Everybody who participated, you know, the coaches that used to drive us to the games, people that back in the day really gave of themselves in a selfless way for soccer. Today, here in the city of Vaughan, we have approximately thousands upon thousands of soccer players, and to see a team emerge like Canada, this is not any, it's not a small feat. To make the World Cup is an incredible achievement by Canada. And my heart and soul is really with the people above and beyond the players and our hopeful state to do exceptionally well in the World Cup. It's about remembering the journey, and so Roberto and Carmen, you remember the tough times in Canada soccer, but today is a great day to celebrate that.
Naz,
do these friendlies mean anything towards the World Cup? I noticed Egypt beat Belgium 2-1, and they're saying that the Belgian defense is slow. Do they mean anything, these friendlies?
I'll turn that over to Carmina. Carmina?
No, Naz, that's a good point. I don't think the friendly, we should take it too serious. Belgium losing to Egypt really, like Canada beating Japan. I mean, it's good for the confidence. Obviously, anytime you play a game and you win, like Canada did against Japan, it will bring forward confidence. But Belgium losing to Egypt, I don't think we should put too much emphasis on it, because, you know, Belgium have players that play in Europe at a top level, in Serie A, in England, and in France, in Belgium, with big teams, and these players are, you know, they're veterans. They know, they're pro, they're professional, and they have great players. They're not gonna the World Cup starting against Canada, Belgium is gonna be there, believe me. But we're gonna be ready. I think Canada is gonna be ready for Belgium. And as Bobby said, we talked a bit about this yesterday. In this group, Morocco, Belgium, Croatia, and Canada, I give it even odds for two of these four teams coming out. So we're not going to be underdogs, I could tell you that much. I think that the boys will come up with a positive result and possibly even a win. But not because Belgium lost to Egypt. That's not it. Yep. It's because we're ready and ready to I think, surprise the world that Canada could play an attractive attacking football. And anything could go there. By the way, I want to take the chance to say hi to Maurizio, because it's been a while since I've spoken to him.
Roberto, Carmen had touched upon this. We touched upon it last week. What are the expectations for this Canadian team? They won CONCACAF. We beat Mexico. We beat the United States. We're on a world-class stage. We're not doormats anymore. So what are reasonable expectations for this team? First, Roberto, and then Maurizio.
Well, it depends who you're asking the question to. If you ask it to the 25 gentlemen in that dressing room, their expectation is to go through to the next round and probably meet Spain. So that's how they have to feel. That's how they have to think. And I disagree with Carmen. When you play an exhibition game like the one Belgium played, it means everything. I never played a game where, because it was exhibition, I played less than if it was a real game. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to program myself to go three-quarter speed instead of full speed. And if you do, you'll get hurt.
You guys are still competing against each other, from what
of
I can tell.
And if you do, you're going to develop bad habits. Look at De Bruyne.
My point wasn't that, Robbie. My point was that any game has its own story. Okay, so we don't have to put.
Okay, guys, I got to get Maurizio involved here. Yeah, Maurizio, we've got three games against Belgium, Croatia, who are two of the top 10 teams according to the FIFA rankings, and Morocco's no pushover at number 22. What are the expectations for this team, and what would be considered a successful tournament?
Well, my expectations are very high, and I'll tell you why. Because if a few years ago I would have said to you, you know, Wally, Canada's going to win the CONCACAF, a lot of people would be questioning. And I raised the same points you have about beating Mexico and the U.S. These are highly ranked teams, according to FIFA. And so anybody that takes Canada lightly, I think, would not be exercising wisdom at all. I think that Canada can surprise. It's a team that has a very exciting style, plays an exciting style of soccer, very offensive. They're very fast. As far as age, they're sort of middle of the pack. But what you're looking at now, these are a lot of players playing in Europe, and the ones that are playing in the MLS, one of the things that I've observed in the squad is that there are approximately, if I'm not mistaken, around six players that play with Montreal. And Montreal, and that kind of flow could really help. I think that you have world-class players. So what do you look for is, I guess, you know, the team, and what type of is it a team that has cohesion? Well, these are winners, right? This is a squad that has won. It's not a squad that kind of just made it through CONCACAF. So they know what it feels like to win. And you probably recall some of the games. The spirit amongst the players and the team and the coach is quite impressive. And that type of psychology should not be underestimated on the soccer pitch. I mean, look, this team has got character. It has a real sense of they want to win. Yes, they are definitely on the world stage. It's perhaps foreign as a team, but a lot of these players have played on the world stage. And look, the nerves, it will just show it will show the experience that they have. But every team that's playing in the World Cup are going to be facing that. Yes, there are experienced teams like Argentina, Brazil, and others. But at the end of the day, there is always a team that surprises. If you look at the World Cup history, there's always a team that really does a lot better than people thought. And I think this time around, Canada will be that team.
Naz?
How important was the MLS to developing this team, having a domestic league between U.S. and Canada? And how important was it for the development of this team, guys?
I'll turn that over to Kaimina and then Bob, some thoughts on that.
Yeah, Naz, I mean, I think it's the MLS and with Toronto FC, Vancouver, and Montreal. It's all we're here at the greatest event, the sport event in the world, the World Cup, Canada. Because of that, because of the MLS, because of the development of these players over the last 10 plus years, with the academies. Alfonso Davis came out of Vancouver, as we know. Osorio came out of TFC. Mayor Bevilacqua just mentioned that Montreal, we have six players coming from the roster of Montreal who had an amazing season. And these players, obviously, were formed in the MLS. Some of them went to Europe. They were playing in Champions League. Let's face it. If it wasn't for the MLS and for the academies, we wouldn't have Davis playing with Bayern Munich and being Champions League winner. And he's won already three leagues in, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He's been there 3 years. He's won all 3 years with Bayern. And David playing with Lille and being one of the top scorers in the French League One. So we have Laren playing with Bruges and Buchanan from New England playing also with Bruges in Belgium. So that's why I'm bullish on this team, because we have players, young and veterans, that are playing, Eustachio playing with Porto in Champions League. And he's been scoring some goals with Porto. He's a starter with Porto. Victoria has been playing in Portugal in the first division for years. That's why I'm very, very confident that Canada is going to make it through the first round. And like Mayor Baby Lacqua said, they will surprise. It reminds me, this team reminds me a bit of the United States, I think, making it, if I'm not mistaken, to the quarterfinals.
Correct.
In South Africa, and I think also in Korea and Korea, Japan. They made it to the quarterfinal. I think they lost to Brazil in Japan, if I remember well, and they lost against Brazil in the quarterfinal, Japan and South Korea World Cup. And I think also they made it to the quarter, if I remember well, also the quarterfinals, you made it in South Africa. And I think they lost again to Germany or Brazil, I can't remember. So Canada will make it, myself. I feel they could make it up to the quarterfinals.
Bob,
Bob,
I'm gonna turn the question on you, and this may get into discussion amongst all of us. It's pretty tough on a show where I've got five people on the line with the names Marcantoni, Arushi, Bevilacqua, Marchese, and Rigobon to not talk about our beloved Azzurri. And they didn't qualify for the World Cup again. Second time in a row. I've said it 4 years ago. The World Cup is missing something if Italy's not there. Ranked sixth in the world, FIFA, European Cup champions. We all know what the rules are, and they didn't qualify. Tough one to take, Bob. Twice in a row. Our beloved Azzurri. I don't get to see them belting out the Fratelli d'Italia before the games. I mean, I'm proud, proud Canadians, but man, we've celebrated so many times. Your thoughts?
I lost a few months of my life watching the Italians trying to qualify over the last 8 years. It's been absolutely agonizing. Watching a team that has very little creativity, imagination, especially in those final World Cup games against Sweden, years ago, and now recently against Northern Ireland, North Macedonia, and to lose that game was just—it's just an empty feeling. I mean, speaking with Roberto Bettiga the other day, he said the same thing. How do you attribute this? I think unless you build that strength of team, that mental unification that Turman seems to have created amongst our group, those are those small intangibles which really become huge intangibles that propel you to victory when it looks like there doesn't seem to be a solution at the end of every endeavor. Ugh. And I think that Italy was very predictable in those final games. They looked like a team that deep down inside each individual didn't have it, didn't believe the other guy could do it, and I think it felt like they all waiting for that final whistle so that they could go home and hide under the covers, you know. So I don't know how you try to uncover like actual solutions, but
it's a tough one.
When you have someone like Giorgio Chinaia, who you know can win a game at any time, it's a comfort throughout the team. If you feel that those guys up front can't seem to find those solutions, it just brings a fear amongst everybody involved in that team. And I think that in the end, Italy didn't believe in itself.
Maurizio, I don't know how Italy couldn't have believed in itself. They had just won the Euro, but that's a different debate. Maurizio, Canada's going to be the co-host of the World Cup in 2026. And I know the one dream I have, I'd love to see Italy play their qualifiers in Canada in the same group as Canada. And I look forward to that. Hopefully, somehow, First of all, Italy's got to qualify somehow. When they pull those things out of the hat, or however they do them, we get Canada and Italy, and I can't wait for that game. And I'll be proudly wearing a Team Canada sweater, and I'll leave my Azzurri sweater at home. Maurizio, your thoughts on that potential matchup?
It'd be very interesting matchup, and I do think that it's important to remember that Canada in 2026 will be playing an important role. And if I can, Wally, I want to say that we're working very hard here in the city of Vaughan to build a national training center at North Maple Regional Park. We had many conversations with Nick Bontis and Earl Cochran and others, the Canada Soccer Association. The reason why I mentioned this is because, believe it or not, Canada does not have a national training center, and this is going to be part of the program. And so this will include the administrative offices, but also incredible training facilities. We signed a memorandum of understanding with Canada Soccer, and now we're doing a feasibility study. And we hope to break ground soon so that it would be ready for that. The reason why I'm saying this is because Canada is becoming a country that is really it's the harvest season for Canada, because we've invested a lot of time and effort to build a national program. In reference to Canada versus Italy, obviously, even at this World Cup, it's going to be Forza Canada, as we now have to. This is the only team we have. But it would be a very interesting game. I know that Canadians of Italian origin will be obviously proud of their heritage, but would also pay tribute to the country in which we proudly live.
Certainly something to look for. Gentlemen, unfortunately, we only have about 45 seconds left in this segment. I'm going to go around the table really, really quickly. Give me a one-word answer to my question. Carmine, who's going to win the World Cup?
I'm going to put Argentina because of Messi.
Okay. Roberto, who's going to win the World Cup?
I'm going to choose Germany.
Germany. Maurizio, who's going to win the World Cup?
Argentina.
Naz, who's going to win the World Cup?
I agree with Bob. Germany.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say England. You guys can think I'm crazy, but I think this is their time. I know you guys are going to laugh about
crazy,
that one.
Walden.
I know. I might change my mind by next week. Anyways, gentlemen, Carmine, Roberto, Maurizio, this has been a distinct pleasure. We've got a couple of weeks left. I'm sure we'll have some more chats as we go forward. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Will, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we received several angry letters from the general public. Pizzaville's central phone number is 736-3636, but it seems that some listeners thought I was saying 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville does not condone free sex, except among consenting adults. But to make amends to those listeners who thought they heard 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex, Pizzaville recommends that you try our hot Italian sausage on your next Pizzaville pizza, because maybe you need a little more spice in your life. So, whether it's a sunny day or a rainy day, call Pizzaville at 736-3636, not 7-free-sex-free-sex-free-sex. Pizzaville, authentic Italian-style stone-baked pizza.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth. Search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville announced that vegetarian pizzas are better for the environment. They use fewer resources than pizzas with meat, and you get less gas emissions. Try our margarita, spinach and artichoke, Greek, spicy potato or super hot veggie pizzas. To save even more energy, you could always eat them in the dark. Call Pizzaville for the eco-friendly pizzas at 736-3636.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live from Liberty Village in downtown Toronto on AM 740, downtown Toronto 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming www.zoomerradio.ca. We just finished talking about the world's greatest sporting spectacle. Now we're going to talk about one of Canada's greatest sporting spectacle. It's a cultural institution in this country. It's Grey Cup Sunday. And who better to chat with than the voice of the Toronto Argos, affectionately known as Hoagie, Mike Hogan. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Greetings from Regina. It's Grey Cup Sunday, and we're in it. And what could possibly be better than that?
We've got a good friend of yours on the show with us this morning, also former Toronto Toronto Argonaut. Toronto Argonaut, he bleeds the blue and white in so many different ways. Broadcasting legend, Argo legend, Peter Martin. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning from Oakville.
Good morning. It's a little bit warmer in Oakville, I think, than Regina.
I'll tell you what,
Regina.
Oh, it's not. It's chilly here. It's zero. Anyway, Hoagie, how are you doing?
Doing okay. It's minus 29 here this morning. So
it's good.
Perfect.
It's
perfect.
Absolutely
great day for football.
It's a great day for Canadian football. Thankfully, you don't have the snowstorm they have down in Buffalo. But Mike, the Argos got off to a bit of a slow start, but they've been rocking lately. They picked it up in the second half of the season. Great, good game against the Owls in the Eastern Final. They did what they had to do to win. They played basically mistake-free football, but even better, you had over almost 22,000 warm seats, warm bodies in the crowd, and there was a buzz in the crowd.
It was loud. It was. Most of the people who were in the stands say it was the best experience they've had on a game day at BMO Field. It was loud from before the guys got on the field. So, you know, it's like the old commercial about the Argos. Those who like it a lot.
Yeah.
And this was a chance for them to go. And you're right, you know, people know this better than any of the other three of us in the conversation right now, but what you want as a team is you want to build and you want to peak at the right time. And this year, you know, it was a brand-new coaching staff, aside from the head coach, Ryan Dinwiddie, and the linebackers coach, Kevin Ivan. So it was guys kind of getting acclimatized to new coaches and new players, and there were a few new teammates brought in, and you could see the build going every week. And, you know, you're right. Last week was the best game of the season for the Argos, and they're hoping that they haven't peaked yet, and they've got one more in them.
Naz?
How important is the running game for today's game, Mike?
For both teams, it's huge. It's going to warm up. I was not joking about the wind chill right now is minus 29. By game time, it's supposed to be down to about minus 9, which will feel like we're on a beach in the Caribbean somewhere compared to the rest of the week. But both teams need to do that. Both teams, you know, Winnipeg really runs the football well. The Argos with Andrew Harris and A.J. Ouellette have found lightning in a bottle. Montreal didn't know how to handle both backs. Harris was injured in August, tore his pec muscle, just came back for that last game. A.J. Ouellette and he had not been on the field at the same time all season. They were last week. It threw Montreal, and Ouellette's biggest play came with Harris on the field. Harris's biggest play came with Ouellette on the field. So I think they're on to something.
Peter, you've been an Argo basically your entire life. Argos... you know, back in the Grey Cup, interesting statistic about the Argos, they've won the last six Grey Cups. Interesting stat.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I was going back and looking at previous Grey Cups, and you know, it's interesting that the one 70 years ago these two teams played, I wasn't around then. I was 10 years old at the time, but in a way I do remember some of the things that happened back then. And looking at, you know, the last time the Argos were in were 2017, and, you know, to go back to what Hoagie was talking to a little bit a minute ago, there's only two guys left on that team from 2017 that are on the field for the Argos today. And ironically, it's Bethel Thompson, the quarterback, and Declan Cross, one of the fullbacks. So, you know, it's the Argo Grey Cups have been at times few and far between, but they've always been great efforts. And I'm looking forward to the Argos playing well today. I'm not too sure whether they can win it. I think they're going to have to play just almost a perfect game, I think, to win, because Winnipeg is an outstanding football team.
Naz, are you with us?
Oh. Yeah, Andrew Harris has been impressive so far coming back. Do you see him in the big key for the Argos today?
Mike?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's one of them. It's going to, you know, I really think the Argos have to establish some sort of ground game to help Mac out a little bit. Winnipeg's really good against the run. They've got a great defensive line. They've got Adam Bignell as their middle linebacker, who's as good, if not better, than anybody in the league. I mean, they just, they're built to stop the run. But the Argos offensive line has been really good of late. This is a group that every week seems to get a little bit better. And about five or six games ago, they added a guy named Ryan Hunter. Ryan was the Argos' first-round pick back in 2018, and he went to the NFL, won a Super Bowl ring with Kansas City. He's a kid from North Bay, and he joined the Argos, and I don't think there's a coincidence. The Argos' ground game and pass protection has been much better since he got here. So, you know, the Bombers and Argos played once this year. It was week three, I think, for these two teams. And Winnipeg beat the Argos by a point at BMO Field because the Argos missed a conversion on one of the last plays of the game. So these two teams are pretty closely matched. I don't know what's going to happen. I'll go with the cliche, and if one team turns the ball over twice more than the opponent, that's the team that's going to lose. And I think it all comes down to hanging on to the football today.
Hoagie, being in Regina and going, have you been to practice? Have you watched the Bombers practice, or are they? Is it a closed practice, an open practice? Has anybody seen Caleros practice this week?
Yeah, there was some video of him. Ivan, obviously, as an employee of the Argos, I can't go to their practices. We've been at Mosaic Field all week, and they've been at another field in Regina. There was some film out there, and he looks okay. I think he's going to go today. For those who don't know, he injured his ankle very late in the Western Final against BC and couldn't finish the game. So there was that. He came out. He was hobbling a little bit, but you know what it's like, a Grey Cup game. He's going to take painkillers, and they'll tape it up, and he'll be able to go. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but, you know, we both know Zach Kolaris. We were there when he came into this league and with the Toronto Argonauts, and he is a tough son of a gun. So I would be astonished if he doesn't play the whole game today.
Well, there's two interesting stats streaks here, one of which is going to get broken today. And, Mike, when we talked on the phone yesterday, it was just like, I couldn't believe it's been 72 years since Toronto has faced Winnipeg in the Grey Cup with only nine teams in the league. That's a statistical anomaly. 72 years between time between Toronto and Winnipeg being in the Grey Cup. But listen to this one. Argos have won six straight Grey Cups, and they're 6-0 against the Blue Bombers in Grey Cups. Man, if we can keep the mathematics going, we've got all the math on our side, Mike.
Yeah, we've got that magical Pinball Clemens on our side today. And Pinball is equal to that 6-0 record. He won three as a player, one as a head coach, two as an executive. So he's been to six Grey Cups. He's won them all. So I think that the Pinball Clemens has built up a lot of positive karma in this market, on this planet, in the football community. And maybe the football gods just say, hey, if the Argos are going to get there, we'll smile with Pinball.
Naz?
How important is the Canadian talent? It used to be back in the day Peter played that the best Canadians, whoever had the best Canadians, had the best team. Is that still the case, guys?
Peter?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you take a look at both these teams. They have key positions are held by Canadians. You take a look at Winnipeg Blue Bombers, their running back. Oliveira is a Canadian, 1,000-yard rusher, and he's going to be a key guy in the game tonight. You got Andrew Harris is a Canadian, and he's going to have a key role to play. So there's no question that Canadian content is an important factor and will play a key role today.
Mike and Peter, I'm going to throw this question to the both of you. You know, Grey Cup Sunday is an important date in Canadian sports. It's been around for a long, long time. It still means a lot to a lot of Canadian sporting fans. Very simply, Mike, your favorite Grey Cup of all time? I've got, and I'll turn this, go around the table with this one, then I'll throw that one over to you, Pete. Mike, your favorite Grey Cup of all time?
Hopefully it's today.
Perfect answer.
But from Grey Cups gone by, mine is, I don't think any question, 1996. Argos and Edmonton in a blizzard in Hamilton at Iverwind Stadium. And I don't think there's been a Grey Cup with more big plays in it than that one. It was back and forth. I think there were 9 lead changes in the first half. You know, Eddie Brown of Edmonton made a catch off his foot that I think is the best catch of all time. Just a remarkable game. And I'll go with that one. And even sweeter for an Argonaut fan. I was sitting in the stands that day to see the Argos lift the Grey Cup over their heads at Iverwind Stadium in Hamilton just added a little salt in the wound to a Hamilton fan.
Peter, your favorite Grey Cup of all time? I'm sure we can't say 1971. That one is still leaves us, a lot of us, sad in a lot of ways. But your not favorite or most memorable Grey Cup, perhaps a different way of putting it?
I only played in one, but I did radio in several and have watched a lot. And I guess the one that kind of stands out is 91, the Ishmael game in Winnipeg, right? The cold game and the win in Winnipeg, and John Candy, Gretzky, and that crew. I think that's the one that really stands out in my mind.
Naz?
What was the worst weather day that you ever in the Grey Cup for you guys?
Mike?
I think Pete nailed it. The coldest one was that one. I was on the sideline working for TSN Radio when the Argos won against Calgary in 2017. And it's kind of like the 96 game where there was no snow in the forecast. And when there was really no snow on the ground when the guys left for pregame warm-up. And when they came out, there was like 5 centimeters of snow on the ground. It was crazy. It came at once, and that game really had some implications in terms of footing. And longtime equipment manager Danny Webb, who's been with the team since 1985, convinced the guys at halftime to change into the ugliest cleats you could possibly imagine. But the spikes helped, and they had better footing in the second half than Calgary did. And I don't think there's any coincidence they came out and had the better second half. So. That was interesting because there was a ton of snow that nobody expected.
Peter?
Well, you got the Ice Bowl in Montreal was one.
Yeah.
I think you got to go back to the last time these two teams played, 1950 in Toronto, the Mud Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched that the other night on TSN, the replay of the old games on the TSN, and it was unbelievable how they even played the game in the mud and how they threw the ball and ran with the ball. It was just incredible. And I think that, you know, the players today may complain about being a little bit cold, but at least they're glad they're playing on artificial turf and they don't have to play on mud in mud. I would pick 1950 Mud Bowl as probably the worst ever.
Just got about a minute left. Peter, we've had you on the show a few times, and we did it with Joe Theismann one time on the 50th anniversary of the of the 71 game. Be remiss if we didn't even chat about it really, really quickly. When Grey Cup Sunday comes around, does your memory harken back to what I call a missed opportunity?
No question. No question. You think about that, and it's a perfect example of when you get an opportunity, you'd better go for it because you only go around once. And we had our shot, and we didn't get it, and still have regrets.
Well, the player, you may have regrets, but you've left that particular team is one of the great teams in Toronto sports history and so memorable in so many different ways. And when I get you on, I get the opportunity to thank you for being part of that team and for what the fantastic memories that particular group of Toronto Argonauts have left with so many of us who grew up during that time period.
Okay, thank you, Wally. Appreciate that.
Oh, it's certainly my pleasure. Unfortunately, Mike, we've run out of time. The witching hour has arrived. The producer's giving me the nasty look. You know what live radio's like, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
all we can do is say thank you for joining us. We wish the Argos all the best today. We will certainly be watching. And go Argos! Go double blue.
We got the best fans in the CFL. We just need more of them, and we feel the love from Toronto. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks so much. Mike Hogan and Peter Martin. Peter, thank you so much. Naz, you always get the last word. Go ahead.
Argos!
On that note, I wish our listeners a fantastic and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.